Lawmakers have wrapped up hearings on how to spend federal COVID-19 relief money. So when will that money start flowing? I'm Adam Farnier, and this is Beacon Hill in 5, our look at the week ahead in politics and government in Massachusetts. As we do most Mondays, we have Matt Murphy from the State House News Service on the line. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Adam.
The state received $5.3 billion from the feds in what's known as ARPA funds. The vast majority of it hasn't been spent yet. Governor Charlie Baker had efforts to use a chunk of it thwarted by the legislature. Matt, where do things stand now?
Well, now that the legislature has wrapped up their series of hearings, these public hearings to look at different areas where they might want to spend this money, they have about 5.5 weeks before the mid-session recess. Speaker Mariano saying he's hopeful to get a bill done by Thanksgiving. That would likely mean that the House would go first, and we could see a bill within the next couple of weeks that could be debated and then moved to the Senate in hopes of wrapping up a compromise with the Senate by mid-November. The two branches are currently working on trying to decide how much of the roughly $4.8 billion that is left in ARPA money they want to spend right away and how much they want to hold on to for a future date, since they have several years to spend this federal relief aid.
Any idea, Matt, on some priorities for either from Speaker Mariano or Senate President Spilka?
I mean, I think you're going to see them put a lot of money into infrastructure. We've heard a lot of talk about wanting to help with climate resiliency. You may see some of this money go into some social welfare programs. There could be money put into support for rates for child care providers, for instance, as that industry is struggling to meet demand and retain staff. So those are two areas we know that they are looking for. But there is a long list of priorities that people have suggested, the ways this money can be spent. So I think it's going to be spread around pretty widely.
There's another long-awaited item on Beacon Hill, new legislative and congressional district maps. There's been speculation at least the version impacting the State House and Senate would be released early this month. Lawmakers must live in their new districts by November 8th, so that's coming up. As Yogi Berra once said, Matt, it's getting late early. Could we see something this week?
Yeah, I absolutely think we could see something this week. The last time I spoke with the House chairman in charge of this effort, Rep. Mike Moran, a Boston Democrat, was a couple Fridays ago. He said within 2 weeks we could likely see maps for the House and Senate. That would mean sometime this week. If we do see those maps, they will likely be out for public comment for about a week to 7 days. There will be one more public hearing, and then the legislature will incorporate whatever they've learned from outsiders and try and take some votes on that. We expect the legislative maps to come first, followed later by the congressional maps. One thing we do not know is whether or not the districts for the 8-member governor's council will be included in these House and Senate legislative district maps, or if they will come at a later date as well.
What's the holdup on the congressional maps?
They feel that they don't have as much as a time crunch to get those done. They're really working hard on the House and Senate ones. As you mentioned, there is that November 8th deadline for lawmakers to live in the districts that they're going to run in. So even though they're right up against it, and if push came to shove, a member would have very little time to move, or a challenger, for that matter, would have very little time to move into a district that they wanted to run in. They're trying to wrap that up first, to make sure that they can beat that deadline.
Let's look ahead for a moment. Of course, there's a gubernatorial election next year. GOP candidate Jeff Dial picked up an endorsement of former President Donald Trump last week. Meanwhile, Governor Baker still hasn't announced his plans, but he did kick up his fundraising a notch last month, taking in $173,000. Jeff Deal, I should have said. Could this be a sign that Baker could be making a decision, or maybe already has, at least privately?
He is picking up the pace, and one thing we saw early on in his fundraising when he resumed in-person fundraising over the summer, that a lot of the money was being raised by Karen Pulido. This was a strategic move because the Baker people knew that whatever money the lieutenant governor raised could be used for the governor's reelection campaign should he run, and if he chose not to, she would have the money to mount her own campaign. We're now seeing the governor raise more money on his own, which is interesting. I think the people around the governor are proceeding as if he may run, and we're seeing the uptick. Of course, he had that big fundraiser down the Cape last month, which was reflected in this most recent report. The governor continues to take his time, saying that, you know, he's still talking over with his wife. I have to believe at this point, though, he has an inkling of what he may want to do.
In the 20 or 30 seconds we have remaining, Matt, how much is Baker holding up other candidates on both sides of the ticket?
Yeah, I think quite a bit, especially probably on the Democratic side more so. People like Maura Healey have said that they want to decide by this fall. But she already is a statewide elected official with a lot of name recognition. She may, in fact, be waiting to see what the governor does before making her own decision. There are three other Democrats already in the race. Like I said, Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito will likely run if the governor does not run. But a lot hinges on what the governor does himself.
Matt Murphy is a reporter with the State House News Service in Boston. Matt, thanks as always.
Thank you.
This is Beacon Hill in 5, our weekly check-in at the State House. You can subscribe to this podcast and others from New England Public Media on our website. That's nepm.org/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Media.
On the next Fresh Air, the inside story of the daring and improbable